to The Catholic Perspective, a podcast brought to you by rcspirituality.org. Enjoy the episode.
Some straight talk about the battle of prayer.
The devil's a fairly smart cookie. He knows what's important, namely your soul, and he knows how to go after it. Keep it as far away from God as possible, away from the shepherd, so that it's vulnerable to his attacks. This is one of the reasons why developing a truly robust prayer life is so difficult. The devil does all he can to keep your prayer life mediocre, at best, and non-existent, at worst, because he knows that prayer is direct contact with God, and the soul that truly prays will never stray from God, and will become holy and happy and fulfilled, exactly what the devil hates. So that's why he makes prayer so hard. The first thing you have to do to beat the devil is cut through his lies. He always works through lies. He's the enemy of the truth, the father of darkness. He lied to Adam and Eve. He lied to Jesus. He lies to you. If he can give us a misunderstanding of what prayer really is, and of the fundamental precondition for effective prayer, and if he can disguise the real obstacles to prayer, we will be sure to keep spinning our prayer wheels and getting nowhere, exactly what the devil loves. It's not easy to untangle the devil's lies, but it's possible. We can start by going to the Bible. St. Paul tells us to pray at all times, and pray without ceasing. Jesus himself taught his apostles to pray always. At first glance, these exhortations seem like impossibilities. If I pray at all times, when will I sleep? When will I fulfill my duties to family, friends, and country? It all depends on how you define prayer. If prayer is merely one activity among many, then it will be impossible to obey this command of the Lord, since other activities can't be completely avoided. But what if prayer were more than just another activity? What if prayer were, at bottom, a relationship, a state of being? In that case, I could, in fact, pray without ceasing, because I could be living that relationship constantly, regardless of what other activities I may be engaged in. Someone in love doesn't stop being in love while he's working on his physics homework or washing his car. In fact, his being in love gives him added motivation to wash the car well, because he will be taking his fiancée out for a spin, and to finish the problem set quickly so he isn't late. In this sense, the biblical command to pray without ceasing is not only realistic, but revelatory. It reveals the true nature of Christian prayer. Through the centuries, the most common definition of prayer has been the lifting of the heart and mind to God and the asking of good things from God. Many spiritual writers also like the definition of prayer as conversation with God. The Universal Catechism of the Catholic Church makes references to these common conceptions, but when it comes to actually defining prayer, it breaks the mold. Here's how the Catechism defines prayer when it explains the relationship of the fourth part of the Catechism, the part dedicated to prayer, to the other three parts in number 2558. Great is the mystery of the faith. This mystery then requires that the faithful believe in it, that they celebrate it, and that they live from it in a vital and personal relationship with the living and true God. This relationship is prayer. So prayer is more than just an activity, more than just a relaxation or centering technique. Christian prayer is a relationship, a vital and personal relationship with the living and true God. The average Christian's prayer life usually suffers considerably from not understanding that basic truth. Fundamentally, prayer does not equal saying prayers. It does not even equal setting aside time to be with God. Those constitute modes of prayer, expressions of prayer, but prayer itself is, above all, the personal friendship that each one of us has with God. It's an ongoing relationship. Think of breathing. We need to breathe in order to live. All the functions and activities of life depend on our continuing to breathe. Prayer is like breathing for the Christian soul. Living in a vital personal relationship with God cannot be reduced to 5 minutes at night and an hour on Sundays. A relationship involves constant exchange of thoughts, ideas, and encouragement, an ongoing heart-to-heart communication and sharing of experiences. That ongoing communication, that exchange, that's the bedrock of Christian prayer. Understanding prayer as a relationship and not just an activity or self-help technique is the first step to making real progress in the spiritual life. It exposes the devil's major lie about prayer. But this definition of prayer doesn't eliminate the need for particular times dedicated to conversing exclusively with God. There's no better way to make a friendship grow cold than by not spending quality time together just as friends. As the Catechism puts it, we cannot pray at all times if we do not pray at specific times, consciously willing it. Prayer includes both the ongoing friendship and the moments of extended, exclusive conversation. But both levels depend on the same foundation. Here's where the devil's second lie kicks in. He wants us to think that effective prayer comes about as the result of a proper technique, of doing it right, of learning the right methods and tricks, and of stimulating the right feelings. But Christian prayer goes well beyond feelings and techniques. True, methods are helpful, but they're not sufficient. Christian prayer is not magic. It's not pagan prayer. The foundation of Christian prayer isn't a technique or a feeling, but faith. Our conversations with God, our intimate, personal, ongoing exchange with Him, happen in an atmosphere of faith. This is what makes it prayer instead of normal conversation. This is what makes our friendship with God so unique. When I call up my brother and wish him happy birthday, it is part of my vital personal relationship with him, but I don't call it prayer. I cannot see the God whom I address. I cannot hear his voice in the same way that I can hear yours, at least not usually. In our interaction with God, we must walk by faith, not by sight, as St. Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians. In heaven, we will no longer need faith to detect God's presence and hear his voice, but for now, we do. As St. Paul puts it in his first letter to the Corinthians, at present we see indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then in heaven, face to face. At present I know partially, then I shall know fully, as I am fully known. Growth in prayer, therefore, requires growth in faith. But growing in the faith that God in His goodness has poured into our minds and hearts requires exercising that faith. And exercise always takes effort. That effort gives rise to many difficulties in the spiritual life, especially the two that most plague our prayer, sloth and distraction. Fighting to overcome them is what makes for, as the Catechism puts it, the battle of prayer. The first step to overcoming them is identifying them. That's where the devil's third lie comes in. He doesn't want us to call a spade a spade. Instead of saying sloth, he likes us to say, I'm just really busy. Instead of saying distractions, he likes us to focus on concocting the perfect environment for prayer, with all the right lighting, furniture, books, and feelings. To beat the devil, we have to face the facts. How does sloth work? How do distractions work? Sloth is spiritual laziness. It's distaste and sluggishness in cultivating my relationship with God. I can't go to Mass because then I'll be late for the football game. I can't pray before I go to work because I need that extra few minutes of sleep. I can't go on a retreat. I've got a thesis to finish. I can't read that spiritual book that my roommate gave me. I need to try out my new computer game. I know I made that personal commitment to start praying the rosary again, but I just don't feel like it. I have so much else to do. Anything but spend time attending to the most important thing, my vital and personal relationship with the living and true God, i.e. my life of prayer. That's sloth. If we successfully surmount sloth, we are soon buffeted by distractions. I go to Mass and sincerely want to worship God, but I can't take my eyes off that family in the front pew that's making such a ruckus. I pray the rosary every day, but halfway through I realize that I have no idea which decade I'm on, because I'm thinking about the paper I have to write on anti-terrorist measures in the former Soviet republics. I desperately try to spend some time every day in personal prayer, in Christian meditation, but I end up thinking about everything except God. Family worries, upcoming engagements, phone calls I have to make, interviews for summer jobs, they all violently claw at my attention as soon as I try to quiet my soul and attend to the Lord. Sometimes when I pray, I'm just bored. All this goes into obstacle number two, distraction. Identifying the obstacles is the first step to overcoming them, but not the only step. You also have to understand why they are so persistent, why they're so strong. And that leads us back to the bedrock of prayer, faith. The weaker your faith, the stronger the obstacles. Think about it. If I believed with all my heart that, as the Church teaches, the Blessed Trinity itself is present in my soul, and that the very God who created me and created the entire universe and who holds every particle of it in existence at every moment, that this same God wishes to listen to me and speak with me and fill me with his grace whenever I turn my mind to him, would it be so hard to repel distracting thoughts and images? The stronger my faith, the more easily I overcome sloth and distractions. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to be distracted when you watch a good movie? Effortlessly, you pay perfect attention to a complex story for 2 hours. Compare that with 10 minutes of personal prayer. What's the difference? Contact with God takes faith. It takes the effort of all my heart, soul, mind, and strength to align my fallen nature, which tends to seek fulfillment in the things of this earth, with the sublime truths that God has revealed to me through the teachings of the Church. Having a robust understanding of what prayer really is, a vital and personal relationship with the living and true God, and not just another activity to squeeze into our schedule, is essential to untangling the devil's lies and beginning a truly fruitful prayer life. Knowing that faith is the foundation of that relationship, not feelings, not techniques, is equally essential, as is knowing the nature of the biggest obstacles to effective prayer, sloth and distraction, and knowing the reason they have such sway in our lives, weak faith. With this understanding, you are ready to roll up your sleeves and throw yourself into the battle and start working. Working hard, working intelligently, on your prayer life. Exercising your faith and minimizing the obstacles. The talk on the practice of prayer will give some practical pointers on how to work both hard and intelligently. And that's some straight talk about the battle of prayer.
You have been listening to The Catholic Perspective, a resource from rcspirituality.org. Please visit our website and check out more great resources to help you pray, learn, grow, and go. Please join our team of digital missionaries by subscribing at rcspirituality.org.